Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. One of the things that we often forget about as we are traveling on our individual roads to success is that we must have faith. We must have faith in the process. We must have faith in our abilities. Quite often we feel that we are in complete control. And to a large extent, this is one of those missions that we undertake in life where we do have a lot of control, not all, because we can get help. And that help sometimes comes in forms that we don't recognize. When I talk about our individual roads to success, many of us are looking only at being able to be a multimillionaire and have everything that we could possibly dream of. But many of us get lost sometimes in the fact that we may have goals, we may have desires, we may have ambitions that are not directly related to finances. And this is perfectly okay. And let me give you some examples of those. We have had people, and one of the names that comes to my mind is Fannie Lou Hamer, who had a goal of bringing democracy to everybody, bringing civil rights to everybody, bringing civility to an entire community, an entire nation. She was not driven by money, although she did have some programs that were self-sufficient. That was not her driving effort. It came from deeper, deeper inside. We see many people that are pursuing their goals, their dreams, their desires, and wanting to help other people. One such group are teachers. And I think that they're grossly underpaid for oftentimes what they have to put up with. Many of us send children to school and are not there to watch what happens in those classrooms. Something happens, and it has not related to the art of learning. And we are ready to go down armed to the hilt, armed to the teeth about not doing this or that. And sometimes we have to take stock of ourselves to look at what am I really doing? Is it going to pay off in the long run or is it not? And sometimes what we are doing is crippling people. We are enabling them. They are parents. And through my life's experience, I see these parents that come along and say, my kid would do nothing wrong. Nothing. And yeah, many times when they're sitting right up under you, they don't. Except many of you are allowing them to do things that they would not normally do because they are quiet, because they are paying attention. Do you know what they're doing on social media? Do you know that they are sometimes putting that ahead of their schooling? When my kids were in school, their schoolwork was job one. That was the main thing that was happening. Did I ever have to go to school? Yes, I did. But my problem, and I was not going to express this in front of the kid with the teacher there. There are some things that belong in adult hands, and me acting like a bully to a teacher while the kid is getting away with something was not one of them. But when my son was not doing his homework, and we get to the point where it's time for grades, and then I hear about it, we have a problem. I'm not going to go down there and curse the teacher out. But I will have an open, honest discussion with that teacher. Now, what does this have to do with our success? Sometimes we have to look at ourselves. Sometimes we have to make a self-assessment. And it does no good if we're not making an accurate self-assessment. Am I doing those things which are necessary? Am I placing priority on those things that I should be placing a priority on? I saw much of this taking place with my mother, with my father. They were both entrepreneurs, and they pursued different entrepreneurial interests. My mother ran a restaurant. I was there when she began planning it, and I saw what it takes to do that. Many times we start off in a hole. Understand that there are situations in which there is no right, no wrong answer. I remember going to different places looking at equipment that we could use. One, you have to have an idea of what you're going to do. Are you going to do specialize in sandwiches? Are you going to specialize in cooked meals? Are you going to do a meat and three? What are you going to do? We need to have an idea. Sometimes we get ideas by going to other places, seeing what works, analyzing what works. And just because an idea is not working does not mean that it should be scrapped. Because sometimes we see things that are leading to that. Sometimes we put a place that requires much more investment in building, lease, rent, whatever it may be, than is appropriate for the type of menu that we have. All of these things have to do with successfully operating a business. Now, we can have times when restaurants of a certain level, and I'm using level in terms of what do they do, their price points, and et cetera. People are not going to go into a third world country to pay first country prices for a meal unless it is exceptional. It can be done, but you have to have a plan and you have to follow that plan. Same thing goes for writing. Same thing goes for cooperatives. We may find that there is something that we can do that benefits us and others. And when we do that, we need to be very, very cognizant of what we're doing. That means that we need to know what we're doing, how we're going to do it. We need to have a plan. We need to make sure that that plan is viable. That means that it can live, that it can survive, that it can generate what it needs to generate. If that's profit, it's profit. If it needs to generate interest from the community, then that is what it needs to do. We have to know how to measure what's taking place. And we have to know when to hold them. We have to know when to fold them. All of these are questions that we'll come to. Sometimes they tax our sanity. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing. But we have to have faith. Faith that we are given an honorable mission to undertake. We have to know why we're doing it. Why? What are we doing? And what are the benefits of it? The benefits are not always the money that goes into your pocket. If we take this restaurant thing, are you providing people with nutritious meals at a reasonable cost, if that's what your goal is? Are we providing a product that's good according to the price point that we have put out there? And why not talk about price point? Because we can go to many fast food restaurants and get a hamburger for $5. But do you realize some people in some places under some circumstances are paying 10 times that for a single burger? Now, can you take that $5 burger and charge $50 for it? You can, but I don't think it's going to be a very successful formula. There has to be a uniqueness in what you're doing, whether you're writing a book, whether you are leading a choir in church. Maybe you are talented in that area. Maybe your idea and your goal and your success is to lead a Sunday school, a Bible discussion, in which people are able to make a contact, make a commitment, and go along with what they are doing. I attended 2 Toastmasters programs today. They have different goals. Yeah, they're basically the same. But there is a two-pronged approach to Toastmasters. It teaches you to speak in front of others, and it also prepares you for leadership. Because generally we don't put somebody in a position and leave them there for an eternity. That may happen in some places, but it is designed, and people can come in new and step into meaningful roles. And this is a learning process. This is something that you will learn as you journey down this road to success. I sometimes look at Undercover Boss and find out that many people have an idea that those people that are working for you don't have desire, don't have ambition, are not willing to give you 110% of what they've got. And so many times this turns out to be wrong. Something happened along the way. We need to reward people when they do what is expected. When they do what is expected, and they sometimes go over, well beyond what is called for. We need to help them. We oftentimes look at people into the position that they're in today, right this very minute. We can go to a fast food restaurant and think that, well, this person can't do any better than that. But that you may be so completely wrong. In many cases, we have people that are on the job market altogether that would be wonderful in some of these jobs. We have people that are on the autistic scale that we sometimes consider to be almost disposable. But they have a meaningful heart. They can perform jobs. They enjoy performing certain jobs. And it's individual. You can't say, well, I had one and it didn't work out, because you have had many other able-bodied people, able-minded people that did not work out. What we are there for is to provide benefit both to ourselves and to other people. Sometimes mentoring a person may be extremely valuable. I enjoy watching television, although my interest in watching television are shifted from what they were some years ago, because I wanted to be entertained. I wanted to sit in front of a box, and that's all I wanted. I wanted to laugh. I wanted to be on the edge of my seat with excitement. But I see people come on, and they talk about their fifth grade teacher and how that person mentored them. One of the speakers that we had in Toastmasters had exactly that. The fifth grade teacher saw something in this student that other people had obviously missed. And while this is decades later, that still lingers. That's a worthwhile goal, to mentor somebody. Now, sometimes we get into a situation where we may not be able to afford being a full-time teacher. As I started into the program, I said that that teachers in many cases are grossly underpaid because of what they do in terms of motivating our children. I responded to a person on Facebook or made a comment there, and they were praising their son for something that he had done. I thought it was worthwhile. And I made a comment that this is a key to getting the most out of our children. Praise them when they do things that we like, rather than waiting for them to do something that we don't like and pouncing on them. The end results are completely different, because they learn that when they do right, when they do what is expected, that they get privileges, they get praise, they get all of the things that they really want. When we pounce on them for everything they do, sometimes they have tried to do good and it did not work out that way. Sometimes we need to come off of our high horse, talk to people one-on-one. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody wants that every day. During my years of being a supervisor, being a manager, there's some people that just want to know that they are doing well. Other people need praise on a much more regular basis. And your job is to get out of them what you can to get them to perform. Some people are not going to perform up to your expectations, but they're doing the job. They're doing everything that's there. It's not a popularity contest, because sometimes the person that you have least in common with may be your best worker, may be your most productive, may be the highest quality. And we have to look at this. We have to be objective in many cases. And I've had those situations come up where the person that I like didn't quite have everything, but I was able to maximize what was available and what was coming out of that particular situation. This is what we do as adults. We motivate people. We bring them along. And we show them that they can get more out of a given situation than they sometimes even realize themselves. Praise is a good thing. We sometimes, I think, misinterpret that section that says, spare the rod and spoil the child. We see this rod as something that we yield like a stick, like a punishment, like a beatdown. But you know, you can take that same stick and gently guide a person, an animal, or whatever, in the way that they should go. And they learn that way. When we look at people that train animals, for example, they reward them frequently, and they reward them when they do what is expected of them. This is something that we can translate. We can translate that to life. We can translate that to our children. We can translate that to other adults. Now, one of the things we do in Toastmasters is we have a general evaluator, and that person is looking for those things that are done right, looking for those things that could be improved, and we work with people that way. We learn that that is the way to go. When we come into a given situation and we feel that everybody there is not carrying their weight, and that may be the case, but are they understanding the mission? Have they signed on to the mission? I've seen people that have gone on to other jobs and done quite well. Sometimes it's because they have parts of a job that they don't like. Sometimes we have to do it. And sometimes we as leaders have to do things that we don't necessarily want. We can get into too much of anything. There are some people that are so detail-oriented that they micromanage. There are many people that would like to take the job and do it as it needs to be done. But we have to be clear in the instructions that we give to them, and both in understanding what our mission is. I have been in meetings, and I have heard somebody behind me ask what I thought was the most stupid question around. And I used to think, my God, that person doesn't know this. But sometimes it was an effort to clarify and make sure that everybody understood. Oh, okay, so this is what I should do, right? Well, I began to find out that the reason they were asking the question, again, was to make sure that everybody was on the same team, making sure that everybody was pulling in the same directions, that a critical part of the story was well known, both the reason and the reason that it needed to be done, and where the emphasis needed to be placed. These are all things that leaders, and when I'm talking about leaders, you are a leader of yourself in many cases and can come up with products. We have to have that faith that we have been given a mission, that we have been pointed in a direction that is ultimately going to be of great benefit to us. Does this mean that we're going to be able to pass through the jungle and not encounter different terrifying, horrifying episodes? No, does not mean that. It just means that we will survive. It means that we are not alone in our discussions. I like to carry at least two people with me. I carry my Father, my God, my Creator. That's one person. And I like to have someone that inspires me because they have taken a path that I admire. I admire what they do, what they stand for, the way that they can deal with people. I've had people that were, like I said, some micromanage. Some don't give enough information because they don't really understand what they are doing. They don't understand the mission. Can you talk to yourself and clarify everything that you've done? We talk about some of these things over and over again because sometimes it takes more than one time for it to stick, for it to really make a difference. This is why different teachers sometimes have an impact on one student and not the other. A good teacher teaches most every student that they encounter. They pass on values. And this is what we are trying to do. Many times we're trying to do it completely by ourselves. But I have people that I admire. Now, many of you know that I have a program that I do on Sunday at 4 o'clock, and we talk about those things that were posted today, and I post every Thursday. And this week we're talking about a person by the name of Richard T. Greener, G-R-E-E-N-E-R. And I am from a native of the state of South Carolina. Never heard about Richard Greener. And as I research, I come across these things. I consider them to be nuggets, just like finding a gold nugget or some other valuable object. And what did I find out? That one of, and these are my principles, these are my observations from research and study, is that much of history is inaccurate because it doesn't give a full and complete story. Somebody has come up with a story that may be in essence true, may be a valuable lesson, but many of the facts that we need are left out. So we have to study. And this is just like it is in the Bible. I can hear the minister time and time again. But sometimes it takes me reading that in a quiet, meditative mood in order to fully understand it. Sometimes I have to go back and look at the time, look at the country, and look at what is taking place then in order for an impression to be made, a full impact. And so we think that we have read the Bible from front to back, that we know it all. We don't. Because as we gain more experience, we go back and we find and are impressed with certain things that happen. So I always ask you to be true to your faith, incorporate it in what you do. But I think that we also need a worldly mentor. Best is in person. And a mentor is different from a coach. And let me explain this. A coach wants you to do a certain job and do it with perfection. And that's good. We need coaches. We see coaches that are highly played. When I watched the game of Colorado versus TCU last week, I saw a man that was invested in his students. He swam upstream when he basically came up with a completely different roster. But these are people that he had known and worked with for a period of time. I'm not saying that Deion Sanders is a god, but the man has come across some things that he understands. That's the motivation of people. And I'm sure that he puts faith in all of his players. I'm sure that he knows their strengths, their weaknesses. I'm sure that many of the plays and many of the things that he do is to bring out the best in those people, to make their weak spots stronger. They can have weak spots that are stronger than the strongest point on someone else. And when you find this, you can exploit that. It's the same way with you and your business. When you are totally devoted to that business or whatever it is, business may not be the proper word here, because when we think of business, we think of it only as finance, of getting things out. My mother had a goal, and she was going to provide nutritious meals for the neighborhood. Her prices were reasonable, and she went with a meat and three type menu. And she also did other things to survive, to the point that she could go further into the nutritious thing. I remember in elementary school, teacher had us come up with a menu to see what we could come up with. And I would generally get the most nutritious because I had followed what my mother did. I saw the leafy greens. I saw the yellow vegetables, the green vegetables, the this and that, and did not concentrate on starches. There were people who had macaroni and cheese and rice and potatoes. And while these are good foods in and of themselves, they leave things off of the menu. How do we know when we're on track? Sometimes it takes going above and beyond. I think that many of the illnesses that we have now are self-induced. One, because of menu, and one, because of additives, because we're always spraying. We're always killing bugs with this, that, or the other. We don't use nature's repellents, because there are some species of plants that repel pests, and we don't utilize them to the extent that they are. We can go out and get a little spray and spray on them, but if it'll kill those insects, what else will it kill? We see this in what was happening with DDT. DDT would kill a whole bunch of stuff, but we found out that we were killing our bald eagles with it. How? Because of food chain. The things that it killed were things that other things feasted on. and it would become more and more concentrated. At one time, it would have been illegal to sell mother's milk because of the DDT concentration in it. Now, people weren't going out eating DDT, but they were eating foods that had been sprayed with it. What it was doing to the eagles was it was making the eggshells weak, and the eggs were cracking. The young ones were dying before they could survive to hatching. We have to look. We have to have a little bit of superior knowledge. And we can do this. Many people think that the most important person in the restaurant is the cook. And while it is very, very, very essential to have one, it may not be the most necessary person there. It may not be. We have some ministers who may be the greatest preacher in the world, but we have others who can bring out those leadership skills in their congregation. It may be that person that's teaching the adult Bible study, adult Sunday school. It may be a middle grade teacher that is motivating kids beyond anything that we could ever believe. Your job is to incorporate that into the best that it can be. The best that it can be. Sometimes we have to change our goals slightly, or sometimes we need to change them around completely, depending upon what it is, the environment that we have, and what good we can do as well. We have many, many talented people among us. And let me talk about Greener for a minute. And we're going to go into deeper detail on him on Sunday. But he became the first black faculty member on the University of South Carolina campus. And when I ask people to guess when this would be, most of them are off by at least 100 years. Yes, I said 100 years. Because Greener was hired in 1873. He had finished Harvard. He went to law school at the University of South Carolina, graduated, and was able to practice law in South Carolina and Washington, D.C., organized their library. This is no fluke. We have to realize that people are talented. Why do we think that they aren't talented? Because we don't hear about it. Some people have chosen to write people out of history. And this is one such example. Greener was a very, very knowledgeable person. He taught law at Howard University. And we sometimes have come up with the belief that we're always putting people in categories somewhere here or there, but that black people did not have the intelligence to warrant anything other than being forced to pick cotton or do hard, arduous, menial work. And that was done in order to preserve the idea that the slave master was being, so benevolent to these people. I hear governors of certain states saying, no, we don't want people to know their history. We don't want them to know how great they are. We don't want them to know that in the early days, the Greeks and Romans sent their scholars to Africa to be trained, because then it would make us seem as if we're doing something wrong when we force these people to work beyond human endurance for our benefit. So we don't hear those stories. I see the story of Richard Greener. I see the value in knowing about this man. I see the value in raising people to believe that they are capable. I believe that God created man, woman, and he created them with the best intentions in mind. It's a man-made thing that gets us into this ability of self-doubt, of self-doubt. When we look back at early, early people, I generally come away impressed. Why? That was back then. They didn't know anything. But yeah, they started with absolutely nothing. And they made something out of it. Everything that we have today is because we are standing on the shoulders of giants. Standing on the shoulders of giants. And we have to realize God put them there so that we could refine our knowledge. He puts us here so that we can refine our knowledge to next generations to come. If they had just emerged from the cave, there are many things that they wouldn't know. There are difficulties there. When Columbus came to America, as if he were the first man to do so, there were 15 million people in the Americas. In the Americas, 15 million people. What they don't tell you is that when we came through this country, we took land, took it. You don't hear that talked because that somehow tarnishes our past. It does not put that high gloss shine on it because we begin to see what was behind it. We begin to parcel out land because those people again, were able to become rich, to make the country rich. That's how we became a leader. We took land and we developed it. When we look at the Badlands of South Dakota, we made a treaty with the Native Americans there that gave them access to their sacred grounds forever. But then we discovered gold. And what do? We took our word back. Is that the way to survive? What your goal may be is to seek equity for what has taken place. Very noble guide as to what is taking place. We see the West being won by the cowboy, not realizing that one out of every four cowboys was black. Many of us that are old enough remember the Lone Ranger, modeled after the first black marshal west of the Mississippi, Bass Reeves, who worked out of Fort Smith, Arkansas. There are so many parallels in that story that it's unimaginable. We tell these stories. We come to you with this information every day or every week so that you will know that you can as well. God didn't put you on this face to be the laughing stock. He didn't put you on this earth to be the footstool of someone. He put you here. And I think that when we turn our back on that purpose and we don't develop it to its fullest, then we have, in other words, slapped him in the face. We were put here for the betterment. When I talked a couple of weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, about Solomon Carter Fuller. Most people have never heard of him, but he was chosen by Dr. Alzheimer's to continue his research. A little bit about him. He was born in Africa of American parents because after the war, many people went to Africa to find freedom and independence because it was not given to us here. In many cases, it still has not been granted to us. But we can make it possible. We can tell that idiot that says that there is no value in learning about black people or Asian people or Native Americans, that what he is trying to force down our throat is a lie, a lie. We stand up for who we are. There are books in the Bible that talk about who begot and who begot and who begot, that they would waste entire books of the Bible if it was not important. Our roots are important. We see a tree, and we admire its beauty, but the work that makes it possible is below the ground. It's those roots that bring the water up from deep down below, the minerals and other nutrients that are essential for that tree. It keeps it anchored to the ground. We sometimes want to be that highest leaf on the tree when the most important thing is that root that's there that may not get seen, that may not get praised. But we have to understand that we have a purpose, and that is that we become the best that we can be. It's in us. But we can't go around talking to our children, you big dummy. You're never going to be able to do this. That is not right. I told you earlier that on a Facebook post, people were praising their son because he had done what was right. And I said, other parents need to see the story here. We praise our kids when they do right. We console them when they do wrong. We don't have to beat them with that stick. We can gently guide them. And that lesson sticks, and it sticks forever. And it's a pleasant story. And it yields information on how to deal with those problems should they come along. When we find a minor problem and we have to beat feet down to the school to put those people in their place, what does that sound like? Sounds like a slave owner and the slave. I'm going to put him in his place. He can't do this. But then when the teacher wants to meet with you and talk about the progress of your kid, you can't be bothered. You can't be bothered. Give me a break. That's what we need to be down there about. We need to let that kid know that they can handle their problems, that sometimes they have to be subservient to the will of those people in charge. And once they do that, they'll find out when those boundaries are being broken. They will learn to handle it. But I'm not going to be here with my kids all the time. My daughter, at one time, was getting on my last nerve, as they say, because she was outspoken. And I began to think, all I have to do is tell her to shut up. But what am I doing? I'm teaching her to run away from her problems. I'm teaching her an inability to solve. I want her to be respectful. I want her to be able to solve problems. And that's what I did. I'm very proud of her at this point in her life because she can do that. She can handle her own. She can deal with problems. She can deal with difficult situations. People learn, but they learn from being praised at the right time. We sometimes have to give the bare truth. And sometimes that is necessary. Sometimes it's important. Sometimes it's one of life's lessons. But as we become wiser, as we utilize this information and see what it can do for others, we understand we are in a leadership role for a reason. And in order to be a good leader, you have to know how to be a good follower. What does it take? And one day you'll get that opportunity. You'll get that opportunity to move up and lead. And it may be completely unexpected. It may not be something that you knew you were going to have to do. But we see many people get out of very, very difficult situations. A few years back, we had some miners trapped below ground. Somebody had to be a leader. It may not have been the leader of that crew, but somebody was able to step up. Somebody was able to save the lives of those people. Somebody was able to keep up the morale of those people. Somebody was able to keep up the hope for those people. In some cases, you have to be that person. Don't be afraid to try. As I was leaving the one of the Toastmaster meetings this morning, I came across a person that was a little bit reluctant to do an evaluation on someone else. But it is your impression, and it may be just those comments that you have that allow someone else to be great, to be greater, to feel that they have something to contribute as well. God didn't put us down here on this earth as a joke, nor as a footstool, but it takes work. Is it worth it? Yes. Sometimes we are not the number one guy. Sometimes we're not even the number two. But there is a role for us. There's a slot for us. But my advice to him was to push the envelope. Now, how hard do you push that envelope? You'll get a feel of that. And I know sometimes people are always saying that. But you get a point of when you're really pushing it, which is not bad, or not pushing it enough, which is not necessarily good. We go through life. We learn. And many people are afraid to do something because they may fail. Big deal. Big deal. I put out a post every week. Before that, I had a desire to do that, but why didn't it work? Because I looked at perfection. It had to be perfect. But I found out that there's something better than perfect. Something better than perfect? Yes. What is that? Done. It's done. I'm sure that I'll go back next week, next month, and see things that I could have changed. But what would have happened? There are people that would not know the story of Richard Greener. There are people that would not know the story of Solomon Carter Fuller. This man was a medical doctor. He was also the first black psychiatrist in the country. He could do autopsies. He knew things that we're just now discovering. But he had a difficult road to hoe. Because of the color of his skin. Does that mean that he should have given up? No. He was opening the door for someone else. Someone else. I never expected that a person that great would have gone to the college that I went to, Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. It's not where you are at this point. It's where you end up. It's what you pursue. He pursued opportunity. I could have pursued opportunity. I found something different. And I am not sorry. Excuse me. Because I feel that it has placed me in this position. I feel this is where I need to be. This is where I want to be. Because I look at where I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I like where I am. Yes, I'd like to be further down the road, but it is up to me to do that. It is up to me to do that. It's up to you to do that. I hope that I am making a positive impression on my children. I hope that it is making a positive influence on church members that I can share with. I hope that I'm making a positive influence on others that I encounter. Has it always been easy? No, it has not always been easy. There was a time when there is no way in on this green earth that I would be talking to anyone. And yet now, knowing that I'm talking to people around the world, while I understand the responsibility, I'm at least doing it. Perfect? No. Getting better? Yes. This is what all of us should strive to do. I hope that you've been able to gather some useful information out of this program. Once again, I forgot to give the number, but write this down, put it in your phone, whatever it takes, because I like to engage with the audience. I am not the expert that knows everything that comes along. And sometimes we discover things as we attempt to solve these problems. So I'd like you to call in and write this number down, 646-668-8217. All of the hosts on Crown Talking Drums have that as a guest call-in. Some of you are listening on your device, and that's good. Bless you. I love you. But we cannot see you. We cannot open the microphone and allow you to talk on the radio if we can't see you. So use it. Now, we have an amazing program coming up next with Deacon Wesley Armstrong. We had one earlier with Apostle Willie Ann Miller. We have programs most every day of the week. Check the schedule. See what we've got. If it fits, wear it. If it doesn't, keep trying. Keep trying. Maybe there'll become a time, a place, or a program that suits you. If you have an idea for a program, let us know. Because that's what we're here. We're a small group of people, but we're here to enlighten others, to seek to guide you or help you along your way. The difference between a coach is that coach is doing it on one play. A mentor is actually involved in your life for the long haul, the long haul. And so we're not just looking at today. We're not just looking at tomorrow. We are looking at today, tomorrow, and forever. And we work with you to meet your goals, your expectations. Now, at this point, we're near the end of the program. And I hope that next week, for 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, that you'll join us. I really hope that you'll join us Sunday at 4 p.m. And on the Pacific Coast, that is 1 p.m. You can pause football. You can record it, go back to it. But also, we have our programs. There is an archive. And if you've missed something, go back. Listen to it again. Don't be pig-headed as I was and say, I went through it once. I don't need to go through it again. We learn, and we can relearn, and we can dig deeper. I want you to stay tuned for Deacon Armstrong, who comes on at 8, and I want you to come back again next week. Also, join us Sunday, because that guidance that you receive may be the biggest difference in your life. This is what we pray. You must have faith. Faith in your Creator, faith in yourself, faith in your idea. And with that, my name is John C. Abercrombie. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I am ending this broadcast so that Deacon Armstrong can have his on promptly at 8 o'clock. I encourage you to listen. And my prayer for you for this week is to be blessed. Do what you can to bless others. Invite others to join our programming. And it may be you that brings a program that captures the interest of others. My friends, be blessed. Be blessed. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.